Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Gorgeous Reads. I have Catherine Isaac here, author of You, Me, Everything. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you for having me.
Could you introduce us to the story of You, Me, Everything?
Okay, it follows the story of Jess, who is a single mom, and she travels to the Dordogne with her 10-year-old son, William, to go and spend the summer in beautiful place called Chateau de Roussignol, and that's where her son's father, her ex-boyfriend Adam, lives. And she's going there not because she has any real desire to spend the summer with her ex, because not many of us would, but because she has discovered that there is basically, her mum has been diagnosed with Huntington's disease. And for those who don't know about Huntington's, every child of somebody with a diagnosis has a 50-50 chance of having inherited the faulty gene that causes it. So this obviously has implications not just for Jess, but also her son. And that's where our story begins.
And for anybody who doesn't know Huntington's disease in particular, it is frequently confused with motor neuron disease.
Yeah.
But it has the added horror of sort of also being a mental disorder along the lines of dementia or Alzheimer's and personality changes, etc.
That's right.
So it's a true horror, and it also usually comes on for people quite early, in their 40s.
Yeah, that's right. I think it can come on at any age, but the kind of most common age is between 30 and 50. And the symptoms obviously depend on what stage of the condition that you're at. So in the early days, it's kind of, confusion and clumsiness and that kind of thing, mood swings. But this obviously progresses over the course of the disease, and it is ultimately sadly fatal. The symptoms have been described or compared with having motor neuron disease, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, but all at once. So it really is, receiving a diagnosis is an absolutely catastrophic event for any family to have to come to terms with.
It's cruel, and that genetic component is also very cruel.
Yeah.
So how did you come across this story and use it as a starting point for a novel?
Well, before I wrote You, Me, Everything, I'd had a kind of decade-long career writing as Jane Costello, kind of very light-hearted romantic comedy, basically. I had this idea that had stemmed from something that had happened to somebody that I know. So it's my ex-husband's eldest son, Tom. He discovered that his mum was actually diagnosed with Huntington's disease, and she'd had various symptoms for many, many years. Her dad had died of what they thought was motor neuron disease, and nobody had ever made the connection, basically. And I suppose pieces of the jigsaw started kind of slotting into place, and her neurologist suggested that she needed to be tested for HD, which she was, and that came back with a positive diagnosis. So that obviously had implications not just for her, but for the whole family. And I had heard of Huntington's before that, but I don't think I just thought, like most people do, that it's similar to motor neuron disease. Didn't know about this element of every child having a 50-50 chance of inheriting the faulty gene, and this then obviously affected Tom, who I know. And it gave me, it just sparked the idea for a story. It's this ripple effect that it has, not just for one person, but also for siblings, for sons, for daughters, for entire families. It just sparked the grain of an idea. But I knew I couldn't write it as Jane Costello, because it's far too, obviously, the subject matter, it isn't, isn't light-hearted romantic comedy in itself. It just wouldn't have fitted right, and hence the fact that when I did ultimately write the book, I did so under the name Catherine Isaac.
Although, that being said, there are romance, you know, it is, there are several romances.
Yes, there are.
In this book.
Yeah.
One of which is her parents.
Yes.
And how they cope.
Yeah.
With this diagnosis and challenge in their lives. And how Jess, it's also, I think there is a really nice exploration of different relationships, especially young relationships, when you make assumptions about people, and those almost becoming self-fulfilling prophecies, you know.
Yeah.
So there are those elements as well. And tell me what those challenges were for you, because just setting up, you know, the romantic comedy and the, you know, almost slapstick situations that people find themselves, you know, goofy and sex and, you know, all of that stuff. And, you know, a lot of which is in there and which is really fun. But so what did you find the most challenging about writing, you know, really, you know, heart-wrenching, heartwarming, but really tough stuff?
Well, I didn't want to write a book about a disease. I wanted to write a book about people and love and how that disease might affect them. But of course, the thing, you know, I worked closely with the Huntington's Disease Association, and I'd seen Tom himself and how he was handling this. And I think the thing that became, actually, it was just, I was kind of mesmerised by the human spirit and how people can carry on. They can still laugh. You know, they can have this kind of thing happening to them, but they can still live their lives. I mean, Tom himself was just, there is a test to find out whether you have the gene or not, and he has chosen not to. And his attitude was very much, right, I'm going to go out and cram as much into life and, you know, suck everything out of life that I could possibly can in the next few years. And I find that very, very inspiring, you know. So it that made me think, I can write about this terrible disease, but in a way that is ultimately, you know, has a messages of optimism and joy in it, you know, that depicts families in the same way that I saw them when I worked with the Huntington's Disease Association. You know, these just incredible, just a lot of love actually, and support, and people still having fun, you know, despite terrible circumstances.
It does remind me, you know, years ago back in New York, and when AIDS was a death sentence.
Yeah.
And I had a very beloved boss and friend who was positive. And when I found out, it's sort of, you know, we don't know when we're going to be hit by a bus.
Exactly.
You know, you don't know if you're going to step out of here, get hit by a bus.
Yeah.
He happened to know the name of the bus.
Yeah.
He knew it was going to be the number 7.
Yeah.
You know, but even, the, you know, but it hasn't.
Yeah.
In any event, happily. But there is that. I mean, it does, it seems to have struck you as, oh, right, I can both take my life more seriously and more lightheartedly.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think my writing more seriously and more lighthearted.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it kind of, I mean, it could, I think getting the tone right of the writing was probably one of the most difficult things, because, you know, I was aware of the fact that this is an incredibly difficult subject, and I didn't in any way want to shy away from depicting it in it, you know, the true horror of it, because it really is a terrible thing to happen to people. So I you know, I wanted to do justice to the disease and to the people who are affected by it, you know, I really did. But equally, I, you know, like I say, I did, I just felt certain there was a story that could be told that was about more than simply, you know, the really terribly sad side of it. And so getting that right was something I did kind of work very, very hard on, I think.
I would say it was just, you sort of had to, on a personal basis, give it proper respect.
Absolutely.
You know, this was personal.
Yeah.
But so in terms of, I'm interested in terms of, you know, you digging deeper as a writer, and what does that mean to you as a reader? Because there is, I mean, I'm a very Catholic with a small C reader.
Yeah.
I love my intellectual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I love my holiday romances.
Okay.
I love detective stories. I love reading. I love going into people's worlds, however, you know, briefly and deeply or however long they stay with me. So what first moved you to write and write as Jane Costello?
Oh gosh, in the first place, well, I was quite simply that probably I can probably give the same answer as so many other people, which is I simply loved reading. As a kid, you know, I was obsessed with books in a way that, you know, I don't know, is it a pre-internet age thing? I don't know, but I was really obsessed with them, both as a little girl and a teenager. And I just always wanted to. I'd always wanted to write, but I tried many, many times. I was a journalist beforehand, so I was editor of the Liverpool Daily Post, which was you know, my local paper. I'm originally from Liverpool. And I tried many times, actually. I'd come up with various ideas, and every single time I was kind of like, my God, this is so much harder than it looks. You know, it was barely awful kind of attempt that I gave up after chapter 3 or so. And then I had my first baby. He's now 13. But it was when I was on maternity leave with him. I was sat at a wedding and saw the bride and her bridesmaids walking up a pew, and I thought, has anybody written a book called Bridesmaids before? And if they haven't, they really should. And I kind of went home, googled it, they hadn't, and then away I went, wrote that book, and then, you know, 10 novels later, that had become my new career.
And did it feel, stepping into writing under your own name, how has that felt? How has that changed for you?
Well, actually, Catherine Isaac isn't my name either. I've got more. My kids are like, Mom, how many names do you have? This is ridiculous. And yes, it is. My real name is actually Jane Wolstenholme, and my first agent said, you can't have that as a name. You can't, that's just, you know, it's too long. It won't fit on a, but it's double U. It'll be right at the end.
So.
Oh, exactly. No one will remember it.
Yeah.
So I wrote as Jane Costello, basically. And then, by the time I was writing You, Me, Everything, I actually had a different agent, and I thought, you know, oh, well, it's very different. Perhaps I should write under my real name. And thinking she would be a bit more amenable, and she was like, no, it's too long, it's doing it. So Catherine is my second name, and Isaac is my son's name. So it kind of does mean something, and I've now, you know, my head is totally, I now know that when somebody says the name Catherine, it's actually me they're talking to, and I don't look over my shoulder wondering who it is, so...
Well, it's a strong debut as Catherine.
Thank you.
And we're looking forward to seeing more from you. Or is your next book, do I understand, is Catherine Isaac?
It is. It's all, yeah. I think now I've kind of made this progression. It's been so rewarding on, you know, I mean, writing it was, I found incredibly rewarding in itself. But also, you know, it's taken off in ways that I never ever really had experience of previously. So there's now a movie in development with Lionsgate for You, Me, Everything, and you know, kind of got lots of translation deals and that kind of thing, which is really it's lovely as a writer to see that. So yes, my next one as Catherine Isaac is called Messy Wonderful Us. So it's a follow-up but not a sequel, kind of very much the same feel to it, I suppose.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for
my
coming
pleasure.
On Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. I apologize for that fit of coughing that shortened our interview. However, it's a great read. And if you also want to find out another great story about Huntington's, please do go to This American Life and find the podcast by Sarah Koenig, who did Serial. It's called Dr. Gilmer and Mr. Hyde. It's brilliant. And for more fascinating women, go to www.radiogorgeous.com.